My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The other day I was heading home in the car listening to the radio when a commentator came on giving a critique of a newly released Christmas CD. You could tell he didn't like Christmas music very much. He said, there are only two reasons for anyone buying a Christmas CD. He said, there are a few people out there who actually like this stuff. But for the rest of us, he said, we buy these CDs so that when we host a Christmas party, we can provide the expected background music for our guests. I wanted to scream at him, for my life has been vastly improved by my experience of Christmas music. It is the sound that liberates my soul every single Christmas season. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In the summer of 1976, when Terry and I were still childless, I left her for 2 weeks and traveled to Indiana University to attend a choral conducting workshop with Robert Shaw and Julius Herford. At that time, Robert Shaw was the premier choral conductor in America. This was no stage door encounter. This was a daily, face-to-face, word-to-word encounter with a world-famous man who, to this day, remains a hero for me, even now, long after his death. Robert Shaw knew more about choral singing than anyone else in the world. Robert Shaw understood the mystical process of making notes on paper come alive in a creation of words and pitch. He understood it better than anyone I ever met. I believe he understood it better than anyone who ever lived. Robert Shaw knew how to use a collection of singers to induce the heart of the listener to soar. And so some of my favorite Christmas choral music is performed by the Robert Shaw Chorale. This was especially true, you see, when it came to the music of Christmas. Shaw loved the rich tradition of classical music, Christmas music, and he produced it better than anyone else. Shaw once wrote to his singers saying, quote, "All that we have accomplished is nothing unless it releases the spirit to sing and shout and laugh and cry and pray. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That is the quality that is so captivating in the text for today. What we have in Mary's words is nothing less than the release of her spirit and the inevitable song such release produces. If you pay attention to nothing else in the Christmas scriptures, pay attention, I beg you, to this. Nothing is more important from my perspective. Argue all you want about the miracle of the virgin birth, debate endlessly about the importance of shepherds versus wise men. It does not matter. No other detail embodies more completely God's agenda in the birth of Jesus than the words of Mary when she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Well, my spirit is in need of a little release right now. I feel weighed down by the reality of Terry's illness. I feel weighed down by the knowledge that life is a difficult struggle for many in our community. I feel weighed down by the profound inability of political leaders to work together to address critical problems and the endless games we play seeking power in the culture and in the church. This Christmas, I need release. I want to know that the problems we face and the ill spirit we currently display toward one another are not the final word. I am tired. I am tired of email rants, hateful email rants against political leaders. I am distressed by the endless fear-mongering and thinly disguised hate speech dressed up as righteous indignation. And before I retire, I want to know that I have been a part of something good and noble and liberating. I want to know that my efforts over the course of years have been in tune with God's plan to bring peace and justice into the world. Releasing the spirit to sing and shout and pray. It's not just good instruction to the Robert Shaw Chorale. It is the central message of Christmas. Taken seriously, it is nothing less than God's liberating birth in our lives. But we have taken this astounding monum mysterium. Oh, how I love the Latin for that. Monum mysterium, this magnificent liberating mystery. And we have trivialized it. With dogs barking out jingle bells, or my personal favorite, as the choir knows so well because I've put it on a CD and made it available at Christmas parties, Porky Pig singing, "I'll have a blue Christmas without you." Christmas music has become more noteworthy for the monstrous nature of its novelty than for the magnificence of its mystery. And in that transformation, no spirits are released, no hearts are moved to sing or pray. If I could give one thing to this world or to the congregations I am privileged to serve, it would be to give back the sense that God is moving and acting to free troubled hearts, that it is possible for those in the deepest bondage to be touched by God and released from their chains, that no matter who you are or what station your life may be, God might choose you to change the world. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So when was the last time you described anything in your life as magnificent? When you rolled out of bed this morning, how did you greet the day? Did you take a peek at the morning and declare the day magnificent? Did you look ahead to the schedule of events in your day and find any measure of joy? How long has it been since you were moved to tears by the sheer beauty of anything? When was the last time you encountered something so astounding you were convinced that God must have had a hand in it? Perceiving magnificence requires special eyes. Eyes like Mary's. How can it possibly be that Mary should find magnificence in the situation she faced? When Mary declares, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," it cannot possibly be that she was pleased with her circumstances. There was nothing magnificent about her life at that moment. Here she was, a very young woman. Most likely Joseph was far older than she. Quite possibly he was taking her away from home for the very first time. And on top of everything else, before she and Joseph could be together, she discovers that she is pregnant. If I had been in her situation, I would have seen nothing magnificent about it. But Mary, hearing the news that she was about to have this child, declares, "Magnificent! My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." How is it that Mary could see this situation as a gift from God, when most of us would have regarded it as a curse? How can I acquire Mary's vision and spirit? How can we? We have enjoyed a wonderful year in this church in the midst of very difficult circumstances. I am so grateful for the celebrations we have had and the special moments that have lifted our spirits. As Robert Shaw said, "All that we have accomplished is nothing unless it releases the spirit to sing and shout and pray." Liberating the spirit of this church has been our calling throughout this past year, and we have soared. It is the voice of God that calls us to things greater than ourselves. It is the voice of God inviting us to accomplish more than we ever imagined. It is the voice of God urging us to set aside fear and respond to God's miraculous intrusion into human history. The truth is that being the body of Christ is a magnificent mystery that should have each one of us declaring, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Remember this. Before Mary's joy-filled outburst, before the slightly girlish scene in Judah when she and her kinswoman Elizabeth share their mutual good news, it was the angel Gabriel who declared, "Do not be afraid, for God is at work in your life." I know that is not the way Luke presents it, that is my own paraphrase, but it is the fundamental message Mary receives. Convinced that she has nothing to fear and that God is at work in her life, she is free to sing her song, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That is what I desire for this church. That is what I desire for each and every one of us in this room. To know that we have nothing to fear and that God is at work among us, then our spirits will soar. In 1976, I met Robert Shaw, and he taught me something I never learned from a preacher. He taught me that nothing matters unless we have managed to release the spirit of God's people. He taught me that setting the spirit free to sing and shout and laugh and pray is more important than committee meetings and conducting techniques. But if I had paid attention, I could have learned the same lesson much earlier. For Mary, attuned to God's liberating promise, declared, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It is a monum mysterium, a magnificent mystery, worthy of a song. Thanks be to God.